Go take a Bible, turn to Psalm chapter 42. Psalm chapter 42. As Brother Gary mentioned, continue to pray for our pastor. He's not feeling well. Pray that he can get back in the pulpit as soon as possible. That way you don't have to hear us anymore, right? Psalm chapter 42. I just want to start off by thanking God for all the things that he's done in my life. Most of all, thank him for saving me as a young boy. Thank the Lord for my parents and the godly influence in my life. And with that said, young people, if you've got parents that bring you to church all the time, the doors are open, be thankful for it. A lot of people don't have that privilege, but thank God for that opportunity. What a blessing that is. Thank the Lord for my parents. Thank the Lord for leading my wife and I here, so thank you for my wife. It's amazing how God brought us together and then how he brought us here. We're so thankful to work here at this church and to be a part of this church family, to be working with the families and teenagers. And as Brother Gary said, it's exciting seeing teenagers getting excited about serving the Lord. And thank the Lord for that. I'll be honest with you, the message tonight is not one of my own. This is a message I heard my sophomore year in college, I believe it was, when I was at Crown. But the Lord spoke to my heart through this. And as Brother Gary's preaching Sunday evening, I believe it was, he went across this passage and the Lord brought this to my memory again. And I just want to share a few thoughts with you tonight. But I hope this will be an encouragement to you. And most of all, I hope that the Lord will be honored and glorified through this. Let's take a look in Psalm chapter 42. And we'll read through this whole chapter. It's a long one. Hope you can stay with me through this. Psalm chapter 42. And we'll begin reading verse number 1. The Bible says, "As the hart panteth after water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God, with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan, and of the Hermonites from the hill Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of my waterspouts. All the waves and the billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and then in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto God of my life. I will say unto God my rock, Why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones my enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, Where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God." This psalm is written as an instructive or a didactic poem. How many of you know what a didactic poem is? Something giving instruction. Spurgeon once said, "Although David is not mentioned as the author, this psalm must be the offspring of his pen. It is so Davidic, it smells of the son of Jesse. It bears the marks of his style and experience in every letter." Now, truthfully, we can look at each one of these verses and get a message from each one of these. Brother Gary and I were talking about this earlier today, and it's amazing the poetry, how David is pouring his heart out here. Truthfully, each of these verses could be a message in itself, but I'd like to draw your attention to a question that is mentioned twice. If you would, notice with me at the end of verse number 3, the question, "Where is thy God?" And again, at the end of verse number 10, "Where is thy God?" I know you've heard this many times before. If you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, I'd like for you to underline with me these two phrases. Where is thy God? Think about that phrase, that question. Where is thy God? Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this evening. God, I thank you so much for our church. Thank you for the heritage we have here. Lord, most importantly, I thank you that you are honored and glorified in this place. Father, we're thankful for our pastor. I pray that you help him as he's not feeling well tonight. Lord, just put your hand upon him. I pray that he'll be able to get back to the pulpit Sunday. And Lord, I pray that you just bless his family. Lord, put a hedge of protection about them. And Father, I pray that you bless the message tonight. I pray that you'll be honored and glorified through everything that's said. Lord, help us to leave here changed tonight. Help us to see you in a different way. And Father, help us to honor and glorify you in all that we say. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now here we see in the first two verses, David, in a sense, is pouring his heart out. He's come to a point in his life where, in a sense, he is broken. We see David's tears are being pumped from the heart that is already overflowing. He's already been drawn to the end of himself, and we see in verse 1, as a hart or deer panteth after the water brooks, he too is panting, he's longing, seeking his God, the one true God, the living God. David seeks his Lord, his master this time. We could easily spend much more time examining these few verses here, but I'd like to go first once again to notice the question presented twice in this chapter. Where is thy God? In fact, let's say that all together. Where is thy God? One more time. Where is thy God? Think about it. We know that God is omnipresent, meaning that he is everywhere at all the time. Well, let's take a look at a few passages of Scripture that give more specific answers to that question. Where is thy God? If you would, please turn to Joshua chapter 2. Joshua chapter 2. Joshua chapter 2, we'll look at verses 8 through 12. I have 7 points tonight. We'll try to get through all of them. Joshua chapter 2, and we'll look at verses 8 through 12. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof, and she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when he came out of Egypt, and when you did, and what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side, Jordan, Sihon, and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. Verse 11, and as soon as we heard these things, our heart did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Thinking about the question, where is thy God? The answer, given right here at the end of verse number 11, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Think about this. He is God in heaven above and earth beneath. Proverbs 15:3 says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Listen, isn't it comforting to know that God is everywhere? No matter where we are, no matter what we're doing, we can spend time with him in prayer. Obviously, here we see the story of Rahab and the two spies and how she was helping them. But she realized that they serve the one true God. And thank the Lord we do as well. Songwriters W.C. Martin and Charles Gabriel said it like this. I trust in God wherever I may be, upon the land or on the rolling sea. For come what may, from day to day, my heavenly Father watches over me. The chorus goes like this. I trust in God, I know he cares for me, on mountain bleak or on stormy sea. Though billows roll, he keeps my soul, my heavenly Father watches over me. He makes the rose an object of his care. He guides the eagle through the pathless air. And surely he remembers me, my heavenly Father watches over me. My heavenly Father watches over me. I trust in God, for in the lion's den, on battlefield or in the prison pen, through praise or blame, through flood or flame, my heavenly Father watches over me. The valley may be dark, the shadows deep, but oh, the shepherd guards his lonely sheep, and through the gloom, he'll lead me home. My heavenly Father watches over me. Again, the question, where is thy God? I'll tell you, he's above us, watching over us, watching his children. He sees all that we do. He knows the afflictions that we go through. He knows the suffering that we face from day to day. And thankfully, he's there to help us. Where is thy God? He's above us. Point number two, if you would turn to Deuteronomy chapter 31. And we'll begin reading in verses 7 and 8. Deuteronomy chapter 31. Verse number 7, and Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee, he will be with thee, he will not fail thee, neither forsake thee, fear not, neither be dismayed. Verse number 8, the Bible says, he it is that doth go before thee. Where is thy God? First of all, he's above us, watching over us. Second point, he goes before us. He leads us. It's comforting to know that God knows every situation we face in life, no matter how great or how small, and he knows the outcome of each situation. We must seek him for wisdom and follow him with every step we take. Part of following God is following the leadership that God has placed in our life. We must follow our Joshua, as these people are doing here, that God placed in our assembly, in our church here. And I hope, with that said, I hope you pray for our pastor every day. I hope you pray for him, that God gives him wisdom, that God gives him direction. I'm so thankful for our church here and how it's growing, and it's exciting seeing how the Lord's blessed. I want to encourage you, pray for our pastor every single day. Pray for the Joshua that God has put in charge of us here. So the next question, the question again, where is thy God? He is before us, and we need to follow him. Point number three, if you would turn to Isaiah chapter 30. I'll have you turn into several passages tonight. Isaiah chapter number 30. And we'll look at verses 18 through 20. The Bible says, "And therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you, and therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are they that wait for him. For the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. Thou shalt weep no more. He will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. When he shall hear it, he will answer thee. And though the Lord give you bread of adversity and the water of affliction, ye shall not thy teachers be removed unto a corner any more. But thine eyes shall see thy teachers." Verse 21. "And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, This is the way, walk ye in it. When you turn to the right hand, and when you turn to the left." The question, where is thy God? Where is he? Verse number 21. "And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, This is the way, walk ye in this." Not only is God above us watching down, not only is God in front of us leading us, he is also behind us giving us instruction, giving us every step that we need to take. Again, the Bible says, "Thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, This is the way, walk ye in it." He's giving us instruction for the path ahead of us. We must listen to a still small voice and be sensitive to the moving of the Holy Spirit. This is often where our faith is tried. God may give us direction about a certain matter, and we must step out by faith and trust him. I know many of us have had situations in our life where we're not sure what to do next. God, what do you want me to do now? What do you want me to do now? Teenagers, it might be, I don't know what college I'm going to go to, or whatever the case is. Step out by faith. Ask God to help you. Ask God to give you direction. Listen to that still small voice that says, how about here? How about this place? And it's truly a test of our faith. So point number three is God is behind us, giving us direction. Point number four, if you would turn to Psalm 125. Psalm 125. And we'll look at verses 1 and 2. The Bible says, "They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people from henceforth forevermore." I tell you, I was studying this earlier today, and this was exciting. I was getting excited about this. Reading a little bit in The Treasure of David, written by Spurgeon. And he says, "Jerusalem is situated in the center of a mountainous region, whose valleys have drawn around it in all directions a perfect network of deep ravines, the perpendicular walls of which can constitute a very efficient system of defense." Can you imagine the city of Jerusalem is surrounded by this mountainous region, different ravines and things giving them a defensive advantage? Well, God says here, "They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem." Think about it. These mountains that are surrounding Jerusalem as a mighty fortress, in a sense. "So the Lord is round about his people from henceforth, even forever." The question, where is thy God? The answer, he is round about us. He's built that hedge of protection around us. What a comfort that is, thinking about God's security. Just as the mountains are round about Jerusalem, God is round about his people, protecting us. Moving on to point number five, if you would turn to Deuteronomy chapter 33. Deuteronomy chapter 33. And we'll take a look at verses 26 through 28. There is none like unto the God of Jeshurun, who rideth upon the heaven in thy help, and his excellency is on the sky. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms, and he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, Destroy them. Israel then shall dwell in safety along the fountain of Jacob, shall be upon a land of corn and wine. Also his heavens shall drop down the dew. Take a look again at verse number 27. The Bible says, Underneath are the everlasting arms. The question, once again, you'll catch on here in a little bit. Where is thy God? The answer is right here. Underneath are the everlasting arms. Isn't it comforting to know that God's underneath us, holding us up, giving us strength? He is our strength. He is our refuge. And thank him for that. His everlasting arms are underneath us, holding us up, and also thrusting out the enemy. What a comfort that is. Turn to Matthew chapter 28. We're almost finished. Down the home stretch. Finish line is in sight. Matthew chapter 28. Verses 19 through 20. Part of the Great Commission. We see here, Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Think about that phrase. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Amen. I know a lot of times when we go out visiting, whether it's with the teenagers or my wife and I are out visiting, it's difficult. You approach a door, and I know in my life, automatically I start thinking, okay, who's going to come to the door? What am I going to say? Is there going to be a big dog run out and bite my ankles off? Whatever the case is. We get nervous. I do at least. You may not, but I get extremely nervous whenever I approach people's doors. Well, it's comforting to know that God says, And lo, I am with you always, even until the ends of the earth. Amen. When you're speaking to people about the Lord, folks, we cannot do this in our own strength. We can't witness to people in our own strength. We must have God's hand upon our life. We must seek him for wisdom. We must say, God, please give me the words to say when I'm witnessing. And think about this verse. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Where is thy God? He's with us always. What a comfort that is. Hebrews 13:5 also says, He will never leave us nor forsake us. If you would turn to the last point, I promise, point number 7, Colossians chapter number 1. Colossians chapter number 1. And we'll look at verses 23 through 29. Colossians chapter 1. Here the Apostle Paul is writing an exhortation to the church at Colossae. And he says, beginning in verse number 23, If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which is preached to every creature which is under heaven, wherefore I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Wherefore I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God will make known, what is the riches of the glory of his mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. The question, where is thy God? What's the answer? Anyone? Verse number 27. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Think about it. Jesus Christ lives inside of us. If you're a child of God, you have the Holy Spirit dwelling within you. We are in Christ. Christ is in us. What a comfort that is. I heard a story about a little boy who was about to have heart surgery. The surgeon said, Tomorrow morning, I'll open up your heart. You'll find Jesus there, the boy interrupted. The surgeon looked up, annoyed. I'll open your heart, he continued, to see how much damage has been done. But when you open my heart, you'll find Jesus in there. The surgeon looked at the parents, who sat quietly. When I see how much damage has been done, I'll sew your heart and chest back up, and I'll plan what to do next. But you'll find Jesus in my heart. The Bible says he lives there. All the hymns say he lives there. You'll find him in my heart. The surgeon had had enough. I'll tell you what I'll find in your heart. I'll find damaged muscle, low blood supply, and weakened vessels. And I'll find out if I can make you well. You'll find Jesus there too. He lives there. The surgeon left. A few days later, he sat in his office, recording his notes from the surgery. Damaged aorta, damaged pulmonary vein, widespread muscle degeneration, no hope for transplant, no hope for cure. Therapy, probably painkillers and bed rest. Prognosis, here he paused. Death within 1 year. He stopped the recorder, but there was more to be said. Why, he asked aloud. The surgeon later entered the boy's room, sat beside his bed, and the boy's parents sat across from him. The boy awoke and whispered, "Did you cut open my heart?" "Yes." "What did you find?" asked the boy. "I found Jesus there." Now, obviously, it's kind of a cute story. But think about it. Obviously, people aren't going to see Jesus Christ when they cut into our vital organs. But do folks see Christ through your life? The spirit of that young boy, knowing that Jesus lived inside of him. May God help us to have that spirit when we tell others about Christ. Hey, do you see Jesus in me? Teenagers, do your peers at school see Jesus Christ in the way you act? The music you listen to, the things you watch on TV, the words you say? Parents, how about at work? Do people know you're a Christian? Do they see Jesus Christ through your life? One of the most amazing things as a Christian, as a child of God, is he is with us. He's never going to leave us. He's never going to forsake us. What a wonderful promise that is. Point number 7. The question, where is thy God? The answer, he's in us forever. Thank the Lord that this truth is eternal and that God saves and keeps. I'm so glad that we serve a God who watches over us. He's all-knowing. He's all-powerful. He leads us. He gives us direction. He is everywhere. His everlasting arms are underneath us. He surrounds us. He loves us so much that the Holy Spirit indwells us as believers. What a mighty God we serve. Are you a Christian? I beg of you, please don't leave here tonight without knowing the Lord as your Savior. Ladies and gentlemen, if you died today, do you know for sure that heaven's your home when you die? If not, please don't walk out these doors without getting that settled in your heart. I tell our teens this all the time. I tell kids in our Bible club this all the time. The most important decision you could ever make in life is trusting Jesus Christ. Amen. If you are a Christian, live for God. Whatever God wants you to do with your life, do it for him. Listen, on your job, are you working to your best ability for the Lord? Or are you working for your boss? Are you working for that paycheck, or are you working to honor and glorify God? Give God your life. And remember where he is. I'd like for everyone to bow your head and close your eyes at this time, please. We've heard it many times tonight. David was posed with the question, where is thy God? Do you know where he is? Just 7 points of many. We could go on and on and on about this. About where God is. Yes, we know that he's everywhere. We know he's above us, looking over us. We know he's behind us, giving us direction. We know he's out in front of us, leading us. We know his mighty arm is underneath of us. But does he live inside of you? Again, as I asked earlier, do you know for sure that heaven's your home? If not, I pray that today would be the day of salvation. Again, don't leave. Don't walk out these doors without knowing for sure that heaven's your home when you die. It's not baptism that gets you to heaven. It's not church attendance. None of those things, but only through the blood of Jesus Christ. If that's you, please come forward. I'd love to show you from the Bible. Christian, where is thy God? people look at your life. Maybe you're going through a difficult time, just like David. David came to the point where he was weeping. He could almost hardly cry anymore just because he'd been weeping so much. And he said, God, as the heart paineth after the water break, so my soul paineth after you. I long to spend time with you. He was thirsty to spend time with his God.
Playing, maybe you're in a slough of despond. Maybe you're feeling like David. You need to come and seek the Lord at the altar tonight. Place your faith in a God who knows all about you, who cares about you, who can help you. As they play one more stanza, you need to come and talk with the God who can help you to trust him with your needs. You come. Good thoughts. You know what he's preaching on, you get the thought, and you can meditate on that this week. Let me encourage you about a couple of things. We have some folks in our church that are going through trials right now, and let me encourage you to seek whom you can minister to. Again, we don't know the funeral arrangements, but two families in our church have been touched by death, and I would encourage you, if you know Lana Phipps, you know Angie Martin, that you support them at this time of their need. Brother Shorty is going through chemo. Of course, Nick is here, but he's on his second chemo treatment. He's finished his radiation now. But let me encourage you. There are people in our church family who are hurting. I think of Gladys Davis sitting up with a dying daughter. What a difficult time. Just sitting in that hospital room up at John City Medical Center. Some of you folks ought to go by tomorrow and minister to her, encourage her heart. We have folks all around us who have needs. Now, we probably are all saying, boy, I wish they'd minister to my needs. Well, that's not the answer. The answer is for you to minister to their needs. Get your mind off your problems and your situation, and let's reach out to these people in our church body that have special needs this week, and to try to be an encouragement to them, a help to them. It may be an email. It may be a phone call. It may be a visit. It may be food. Take Gladys lunch up there or something. Buy her something to eat. Or call Susie Gregory and say, I'll fix supper for you tonight. What do you guys want to eat? Let's be a church that ministers to the body. Okay? And there are needs all around us. And let's reach out and try to help folks. Okay? All right. That Lord challenged me about that thought. I wanted to share that with you. Again, let's be praying for Pastor. Don't send him food. That's not his need right now. He needs a healing touch. And so let's be praying for he and his family. Lord willing, be back with us Sunday. God, pray that God would raise him up. I mean, this has been a real trial for him. So he needs a touch from the Lord. So be praying for him. I think of Becky Hodges at home. It's difficult to visit Becky and really to call, too, but send her a card. What's your address, Mike? 116 Lois Drive. Becky, can you hear me? She's probably listening right now, but send Becky a card. Tell her you're praying for her. Let's be an encouragement to these folks, all right? Good. Praise the Lord. Let's stand again. Let's see, bus captains, you may be dismissed. Everyone else stand, and we'll close in prayer. Lord, we do thank you for the glimpse we have had tonight of who you are. And God, I suppose every one of us have gone through times in our life where we wondered where you were, where we had troubles that didn't make any sense, where we prayed and nothing seemed to help and no help seemed to come, where we maybe felt like David and we were despondent and discouraged. And Lord, we thank you for the great truth we've heard tonight, that you know all about us, that you're round about us, you're leading us, you're directing us, you're protecting us, you're doing all the things Brother Bob mentioned tonight. And Lord, help us to rejoice and praise you for who you are tonight. And if there are folks here tonight who are hurting, folks who have decisions to make that they're struggling with, may they latch hold on these truths tonight about who you are, and may it be an encouragement and a help to them in their Christian walk. May they find hope in you, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.